You're listening to the Heather Duplessy-Allen Drive podcast from Newstalk ZB.
Senior political correspondent Barry Soper with us. Okay, Barry, how much heat did the Prime Minister cop in the House over Nash?
Good afternoon, Heather.
Well,
he was always going to cop a lot of heat in the House today. I think, to me, the most incredible thing that I heard in the House today was Chris Hipkins admitting that Nash's office actually told the Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern's office that an official information request had uncovered that email in which Nash gave details of confidential cabinet discussions to donors. Have a listen.
In 2021, Stuart Nash's then ministerial office consulted the office of the then Prime Minister on an Official Information Act request release where that email had been identified as part of that release and had been identified as being outside the scope of the review. The investigations on that matter that I have undertaken since then indicate that neither the Prime Minister of the time nor the Prime Minister's Chief of Staff of the time were made aware of that.
See, I find that incredible as well. If Ardern wasn't made aware of it, you'd have to ask, why not? Clearly, by making contact with the PM's office, Nash knew he was out of line, or he wouldn't have raised it with the office in the first place. And what ever happened to that OIA request? Was the material concerning the email, was it redacted? I mean, an OIA request was made. Where is it?
Well, it was outside of scope.
We should have known this 2 years ago.
Outside of scope, which I think is very convenient in this case. Anyhow.
There's another one, though, in the House, and I know you'll be interested in this.
Yes.
So National clearly will try and capitalise on what the shadow is now being cast over Cabinet, in particular this Cabinet. And it began in Parliament this afternoon. Chris Luxon gave us an example of the line of attack they'll be taking. Have a listen.
Is he confident Stuart Nash's decisions on forestry, including the decision to exclude most of Hawke's Bay from the inquiry into Slash, were not affected by his relationship with donors from the forestry sector?
The decision was made at the time to limit that to some of the land where there was clear evidence that forestry Slash had had a significant impact and there had been significant erosion. An independent review panel has been appointed to do that review. That was all signed off by the Cabinet.
How can Kiwis believe they're getting a fair hearing from this government when Labor donors get special access to ministerial decision-making?
Mr Speaker, I reject the premise. I don't agree with that assertion.
Yep. So that's the sort of, I guess, book that's now been opened for this Labor government.
Listen, Barry, Chris Hipkins is really keen for us to buy the line that this was so bad he had to sack Nash because it was the most egregious example. But it's not. It is not the most egregious example. This is a political problem.
Yep.
It is far less bad than the constitutional problem that he didn't sack Nash for, which is calling up the police commissioner and trying to tell him what to do.
And also, you know, the fact that Crown Law was looking at prosecuting him and he was ticked off. I mean, there are much more egregious.
Yes.
If you read the email, as you did on air yesterday, it was after the event, so there was no influence exerted on the decision that Cabinet made. It was simply Nash being loose-lipped, which is what he is.
I mean, it's still a breach of the rules, right?
Well, of course it is. But I can tell you, I will guarantee you, and I've heard it over the years from Cabinet ministers, telling me what went on in Cabinet and who said what to whom. And it happens quite frequently verbally.
Not that that's
the biggest mistake he made was not being loose-lipped, but
getting busted in writing.
Putting
stupid.
It in writing.
Yeah, but not to say that that's okay, but just to say that he should have been sacked a long time ago because he did far worse things than this. Listen, by-election, okay? National's calling for a by-election. Labor doesn't want a by-election. They don't want a public spanking ahead of the election. What do you think?
Well, no, I don't think there should be a by-election either.
Come on, Barry.
No. There are several reasons for it, Heather. And I know I heard you espousing the fact that they should have a by-election to give them a good MP in Napier. Well, sorry, the good MP will be a National MP, I think, almost inevitably. I mean, Stuart Nash, I know he knew that he was going to be on a hiding to nothing in Napier come this election. So he's Totally unlikely to be returned in Napier. So you'll have a national MP there. An MP in opposition has no effect on a government. They're not going to make any difference to
they can
the
make a song and dance, though,
well,
in
yeah,
the
but
media
they've been making
on
the song and dance anyway. And the fact is, in a couple of weeks' time, that six-month rule will have kicked in, which means you're not required to have a by-election 6 months out from an election. Now, Jacinda Ardern's used that. You'd have to ask who's been representing Mount Albert since she decided to quit. She hasn't been seen around Parliament. Nobody knows what she's been up to. She'll be delivering her valedictory in a couple of weeks at Parliament, and probably the first time she's been there for a long time.
I don't know how you made this about Jacinda. This is about the
people
of Napier.
Well, no, what I'm saying is the representation you're talking about. People need better representation.
Yes.
Well,
especially if they've been struck by a
cyclone. Not going to get any better representation in Napier if they have a by-election and Stuart Nash is kicked out.
All right, Barry Soper, senior political correspondent, wrong. 7 away from 5.
For more from Heather Duplessy Allen Drive, listen live to News Talk ZB from 4 p.m. weekdays or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.